The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
The Euros continue tomorrow afternoon, 3 Eastern, Russia taking on Denmark on ESPN. And Finland squares off against first-place Belgium on ESPN2. Both matches are also available on the ESPN app with our pre-match coverage starting at 2:30 Eastern time. And with that, on this incredibly busy Monday, we welcome you back to another hour of Get Up. We come to you live, as always, from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. I am Greeny, and we are jammed. Here we go. Time to get up with a Game 7 thriller. Trey, triumphant, Ben Simmons. So many questions. We have so much to unpack, and we will begin the hour right there. And then it'll continue with Magic. Don't miss Magic Johnson live 9:30 Eastern today on The Process, the Nets, the Lakers, and a whole lot more. Magic will be here in our studio. And then the tide may be turning in Green Bay. Why, it suddenly looks like this could end far better and far sooner than we expected. All that and more in this hour. Let's get up here on ESPN with the game of the night, Game 7 in Philly. Sixers, Hawks, Joel Embiid, Trae Young. What a game. Pick it up in the fourth. Entering the period, Trae Young really struggling at just 11 points, but stayed with it. He had a little move here under 7 minutes to play. Hawks get within two, under four to play now. We're tied at 86. They needed a hero, and that man's name was Kevin Huerter. Working on Seth Curry, that's good. Atlanta the lead. 3.5 to go. Here's the play everyone is talking about. Ben Simmons, that's an uncontested dunk. But instead, he gives it up for Matisse Thybulle, who had split a pair of free throws and said Simmons did not take a shot in the fourth quarter. 3 minutes to go. Hawks up by one. Young nearly loses it. Then he throws it up. And Clint Capella throws it down. It's a three-point Atlanta lead. 30 seconds later, same score. Young, so cold most of the night, but stayed with it and drills the 29-footer. He would score 21. A minute left. It's Huerter. Again, he was the hero. He had 27 on the night. This one here, he's fouled, hit in the head by Thybulle. He'd make all three free throws. So it's a four-point Philadelphia deficit. Next Sixer possession. Season on the line. Embiid stripped the other way. Danilo Gallinari uncontested. Oh, my goodness, Atlanta wins it. 103-96. They take Game 7 on the road. They advance to the East Final to take on the Bucks. And afterwards, so many questions.
Man, I'll be honest. I thought the turning point was, when. I don't know how to say it, but I thought the turning point was just, we had an open shot.
You think Ben Simmons can still be a point guard for a championship team?
Yeah, David, I don't know that question or the answer to that right now. Still believe in him, but we have work to do. We're going to have to get in the gym, put a lot of work in, and go forward.
So Simmons doesn't take a shot in the fourth quarter, and that's nothing new. He didn't take a shot in the fourth quarter in 5 of the 7 games of this series, including the last 4. And I picked the conversation up. Again, Magic's going to join us later in the hour. Big Perk's been with us so much of this morning, and Zach Lowe jumps in here as well. And I want, before Zach, I get all your thoughts on the possibilities of trades. Big Perk, I've been so focused on what Doc said all morning that really listening again to what Embiid just said, I mean, that is remarkable for Joel Embiid after the game to say the turning point is when we pass up an open shot. What does that say to you, Big Perk? Well, Embiid says that after the game.
It's not good, Greeny. And usually when your superstar players come out there and they in their post-game interview and a reporter asks them a type of question like that, usually they say, hey, it was a lot of things that happened that we could have done better or I could have done better. He pointed the finger right at Ben Simmons. So you know what that goes to tell me, Greeny, is that he's been feeling this way all series long. This didn't just happen in this one play. Joel Embiid has been feeling this way all series long about Ben Simmons and him being allergic to the offensive end.
So, Zach Lowe, on your podcast last week, I want to make sure I get this exactly right. This was after the Game 5 collapse. You said if they lose this series, I think they have no choice but to explore Simmons' trades. So they've lost the series. What do they do now?
I think they have to explore Simmons' trades. Look, there's no sugarcoating it. The Simmons thing is an ongoing disaster unfolding on a national stage. 2018 playoffs, he wasn't good enough. 2019 playoffs, he wasn't good enough. Injured last year. This year, even worse. The bottom line is the only time the Sixers looked like a real championship threat was when Jimmy Butler was there for that one season and they pushed Toronto to the limit in the Kawhi shot game. They haven't looked that way since. And Ben Simmons does a lot of great things, but offensively he's just disappeared and it's not good enough, and the Sixers do not have enough offensive creation around Joel Embiid. And the only chip they have to play, after all the chips they had, after everything they got in the process, the only chip they really have to play now is what can we get for Ben Simmons. And I got bad news for the Sixers. The other 29 general managers, they all watched the playoffs really, really closely. They all saw all of this too. So this is going to be a really tough spot for them.
It's worth pointing out he has 4 years and $146 million left on his contract. That said, big perk. Does it have to end here? I think what Zach is telling us is that they're not getting a king's ransom back for Ben Simmons. But in your view, even if they cannot, do you believe that is a move they have to make?
Well, Grady, you know I'm about to hit you with one of my classic lines, the one I said it before. This situation in Philadelphia is dead bird tall grass. It's over. You got to get Ben Simmons out of there. Listening to Joel Embiid, listening to Doc Rivers, it's over with. And Greeny, can I have a little segment on here real quick about yep. I told you so to Zach Lowe? Bring him back up on the screen. I need to see him when I'm talking to him, because I told him about a lot of things that was going to happen throughout the course of this series. I told him that the Hawks was going to win. I told him that the Bucks was going to win. I told him that Rick Carlisle was not going to be the coach of the Dallas Mavericks. I was just waiting on the moment to get Zach Lowe on national television to sit up here and tell you, I told you so.
There you go, Zach.
Hold on. Did you tell me that James Harden was going to pull his hamstring 17 seconds into the series and that Kyrie Irving was going to land on Giannis's foot? No. And the Bucks barely won anyway? They barely won anyway? Come on, Perk.
It don't matter, Zach. I said Bucks in seven, and what happened? Bucks in seven.
He did have
it. That's it, Perk. I'm tracking every Perk prediction from now on. I'm going to hit you when you're wrong. You carry the hell on this morning, Perk.
Okay, fair enough. Zach, let me come back to you. I like it. Listen, there's nothing I love more than rubbing people's face in it. But once we've said that, Zach, let me come back to you here, because this was supposed to be it for Philly. The Nets got knocked out on the other side of the draw. They're playing an Atlanta team that, for the remarkable run they had in the second half of the season, they're not reminding anybody of the 86 Celtics. So what do we say of Philadelphia here? I mean, is this officially the end of the process?
The process has been over. The process was gathering the assets. They got all the assets. Some hit, some missed. This is the team. And the process has been over for a long time. They're the number one seed. The most valuable seed in the NBA this year was the number one seed in the East, the way the brackets broke. I said before the playoffs, it's a catastrophe if the Sixers don't reach the conference finals. This is a catastrophe for them. Yes, Joel Embiid gutted it out on a bad knee and all that, but they should have beat the Hawks. They should be in the conference finals. That's no disrespect to the Hawks, who have been awesome, but you're the number one seed. You have home court advantage. You can't win more than one home game in this series. Come on, this is a horrible result, but the process has been over. This isn't about the process anymore. This is about this team falling short again.
I guess that's fair. Well, so let's give you your first shot. Atlanta does go on, so we will be tracking these predictions. Big Perk, who's going to win the East Final now? It's going to be Atlanta and Milwaukee beginning Wednesday. Zach Lowe is listening closely. He's going to write this thing down in pen. Who's going to win it, Big Perk?
That's fine, and I'm going with the Bucks in five. The Hawks might get swept. And there's no disrespect to Trae Young. I'm a fan of his and Nate McMillan. But the Bucks look greeny. Once they got past Kevin Durant and what he did, his historical performances, nothing is standing in the way of the Milwaukee Bucks. They're not afraid of anything. They got enough firepower. They're going to get past the Atlanta Hawks in five, and they might sweep them.
All right, the Bucks don't stop here, says Big Perk. We'll keep a close eye on that. Gentlemen, thank you both. Again, so much more basketball coming up in this hour with one of the all-time greats, Magic Johnson, in our studio, live in 22 minutes. We'll ask him if the process is over. We'll ask him if Kevin Durant is the best player in the world. We'll ask him the one thing the Lakers can do to get LeBron back to the finals. All that and more. He's coming up live a little more than 20 minutes from now. In the meantime, back to the NFL, and the biggest questions are all about Aaron Rodgers. Will he show up at training camp next month? You know about the season that he's had, the offseason. You know about all those practices that he didn't go to. You saw all the pictures when he was in Hawaii. Then earlier this month, he misses the mandatory minicamp. That's a $93,000 fine from the Packers. Will they enforce that fine? Will they act in good faith and not do so? Jordan Love took all the snaps. Then last week, you saw the t-shirt. It said, "I'm offended." That's on a golf Zoom. That was on a Zoom with Phil Mickelson and Bryson DeChambeau and Tom Brady. And so he's there sending messages. And this is the where we are with all of this. So Dan Graziano, I guess it is worth coming back to you, because as I was reading your notes this morning, your notes this morning suggested to me more than at any time I've heard that you feel like there is a real chance that when all is said and done, Rodgers shows up at training camp, and to some degree, this all blows over.
Yeah, to some degree. And it's possible. Again, we're reading tea leaves, right? I mean, you mentioned the last hour that the country club membership in Green Bay that he renewed, and now everybody wants to know what that means. He hasn't come out publicly and said what he wants. It's possible he's dug in. I've been told by a lot of people throughout this process he's dug in. But we don't know that for a fact until we get to training camp and maybe even the regular season and he doesn't show up. So there's a possibility that he does show up in training camp, that he makes some press conference speech about how the media made too much of it, et cetera, et cetera. If he wants to play this year, I think the Packers are taking the stance that it's going to have to be for them. And if he realizes that over the next month, then you could have a situation where they have to get back together and figure out how to win.
And I think it is worth pointing out that for however dug in he is, which is sort of a nebulous term, because he has not demanded a trade, right? Does that remain an accurate statement?
My understanding is he's not made an official trade demand, correct.
So that kind of leaves us, he doesn't want to play for them, but he hasn't demanded a trade, so it kind of leaves us betwixt and between. How do you see it, Chris Canty?
Well, I feel like Aaron Rodgers wants some guarantees from the Packers organization about when his career is going to end. Keep in mind, there's no guaranteed money on his contract beyond 2021, and so the Packers could go year to year and rent Aaron Rodgers, and that really doesn't give Aaron Rodgers any certainty as to when his time as the quarterback for the Packers is going to be over. So I think if Aaron Rodgers does come back and play for the Pack this fall, it will involve their general manager making some concessions. But I do believe the door is open for Aaron Rodgers to be able to come back to the Pack sometime later this summer and play for them.
They have had conversations this offseason about a new contract, and he has rebuffed their offers so far. So whatever it is that he does want is not something they've put into any of those offers just yet.
He seems like someone who would be a vigorous rebuffer. In the meantime, speaking of the general manager and what he could or couldn't do, Mike Tannenbaum, if you're the general manager, what are you doing?
I'm hoping I don't get rebuffed. I'm doing everything I can on two parallel tracks. One is I'm obviously going to do anything I can to reinvigorate these talks and talk about things like legacy, chances to win, finishing your career. While that's going on, I have to make sure we have the best chance to win. And Jordan Love, the only grade we could give him is incomplete. Last year with COVID protocols, you just didn't have a chance to see what he could do. Blake Bortles, in my opinion, isn't good enough. I would be scouring for players like Nick Foles, Joe Flacco, Gardner Minshew. I would see if Jimmy Garoppolo was available, because again, I've been there. Worst case scenario is not losing Aaron Rodgers. Green Bay's worst case scenario is losing Aaron Rodgers and losing the season. They have a really good team. They have to do what they can to protect themselves.
When would that start to happen, Graziano? At what point would you think those conversations, if they are to take place, would take place?
About him coming
about,
back?
No, about trying another quarterback. About bringing in someone right. Who isn't Blake Bortles.
I think you have to get a few weeks into training camp and see where Jordan Love stands. And if you feel like you can go into the season with him as your starter, then you don't have to go out on that market. They do have Blake Bortles as the veteran who knows the offense from a previous stop in L.A., but I think if they get there and they're convinced that Jordan Love isn't ready, that's when you start to see
Canty, quickly, if it isn't Aaron Rodgers, who will be the starting quarterback in Green Bay Week 1?
It better be Jordan Love, Greeny. Otherwise, what was the point of what the Packers did a year ago when they drafted Jordan Love? This is supposed to be the successor to Aaron Rodgers. If you've got a search for another veteran quarterback to bring in because Jordan Love, going into his second year after having a full season to sit behind Rodgers and learn the floor system, that's an indictment on the coaching staff or the front office or both.
Or maybe on the player one way or the other. We will see where it winds up. We'll see. We'll just see where they take it. In the meantime, there are so many other quarterbacks who are under the microscope heading into the next season. Which one is under the most pressure? We will answer that question And is LeBron's title window closed? What's the one thing the Lakers should do to get him another championship? We will ask that to the man who brought him to L.A. Don't miss Magic live in studio in 15 minutes. It's Get Up on ESPN. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Both teams in a win or go home situation.
Tougher than most people think. A lot more at stake, obviously.
Game 7 is what everybody wants.
Oh, baby! A right hand jam!
We're starting to get some base.
Floats for Capella, who fans and plunges.
Fires a long three.
And that might be the Sixers' season.
This team is special, man. Winning this building Game 7, it's huge for us.
So much drama in the NBA playoffs, and literally no one better on planet Earth to talk about it with than this man. The great Magic Johnson is in our studio. He was on KJZ earlier. He'll be on First Take later. And we are delighted to have you here. It is great to see you. Thank you, Magic.
And great to see you again, too. Right. And tell your son, congratulations, going to Northwestern, a Big Ten school.
We play you the first
week. That's right.
We'll talk about that. But thank you. That's very nice of you to say. But let's get right to it last night. So much of the conversation this morning has focused on Ben Simmons, his lack of willingness in that one moment to take the shot. And again, in the last four games of this series, he did not attempt a single shot in the fourth quarter. What do you see in him right now?
He's just not aggressive. Don't want to be aggressive on the offensive end when he needed to be aggressive to help the Sixers win. He needs a new start, a fresh start. So it's time to trade him. And it'll be good for the Sixers as well as good for Ben. And his confidence. He needs to get with a veteran so that they can, you know, probably bring that confidence back and make him understand that if you're aggressive, it makes the team better. And then you got to work on your shot. What Atlanta Hawks did, Coach McMillan did a wonderful job of saying, okay, Game 5 is where the Sixers lost this series. It's not last night. Mm-hmm. It was Game 5. They were up 20-something points. They should have won that game, didn't close them out. But Coach McMillan started to hacker Simmons, and he didn't shoot the free throws well, and that carried over to Game 6 and Game 7. And now with the fan base being a great fan base in Philadelphia, you already know it. All the talk now centers around him. You see Embiid say what he said, mm-hmm. and I think it's time for Rich Paul, who is his agent, got to now get him out of Philadelphia. It'll be good for both parties.
What Embiid said, for those of you who weren't with us earlier, was basically he thought the game turned in that one moment when Simmons passes up the shot. So many different places I can take this with you, because you are, among other things, a former executive. So you know about the wheeling and the dealing. He's got 4 years and $146 million left on his contract, and the whole league just saw what we just saw.
Right.
So what can they get for him? Are they getting a great player in return for him?
Well, they messed up and didn't get James Harden. That's, you know, he was supposed to be the centerpiece, mm-hmm. right? That's what the Rockets wanted, and they didn't make the move and didn't make the trade. But now they can still get a good player because he's a good defender, great defender, I shouldn't say that. But one thing about contracts, another team has a bad contract too, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's always teams willing to trade guys because maybe that guy is struggling in that other city and he needs a fresh start too. So I look for the Sixers to trade him. I look for another team to take him because he still has a high ceiling and a high upside. He just needs to get his confidence going and get it back. And he's got to get more offensive-minded, Greeny. That's where he's going to have to improve. And he can't say now, I'm not going to work on my game in the summertime. To me, he needs to play more basketball, even getting in a summer league or something. Play more basketball. And just take shots from the outside, pick up games where that can bring him his confidence.
So here's the most important thing I want to ask you. As one of the genuinely greatest leaders in the history of American team sports, you say he needs a veteran. If you're that veteran, he comes to your team
and you want to help him instill that confidence. You want to make him more aggressive. What do you say to him?
Well, first, I'm taking him to the gym every day in the summertime with me, right? And we're shooting, playing one-on-one. We're working out. We're probably shooting 1,000 shots a day, both from the outside as well as free throws. And every day I'm talking to him, getting him going. And so then when the games come, every time he don't take a shot, I'm in his face saying, you were open for that jump shot. You got to take the shot because that's what brings your confidence. The fact that you're doing it over and over again and finally you hitting one of them, right? That drive to the basket, he drove to the basket about 5 times last night. He had the dunk or the layup and he kicked it out for a 3-point shot. You can't do that, not when they need you to score in game 7. And so I hope that it works out well because I like Ben Simmons as a man and as a person. And so I hope it works out for him.
All right, we'll see. So the Sixers go out last night. Atlanta, Milwaukee are now the two alive in the East. Another team that went out over the weekend was the Brooklyn Nets. And I want to ask you because it's always fascinating for me to hear the immortals talk about this kind of thing. When you watch the performance of Kevin Durant in game 5 and then again 7, what did you see through your eyes, who are one of the few people alive who can know what it is to play at that level? What did Kevin Durant show you?
That showed me a Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan type performance. It reminded me of Michael Jordan against the Celtics when he got 60 and they lost. Mm-hmm. That same type of performance, and everybody said, uh-oh. It's getting ready to be Michael Jordan's league, right? And so I think that Kevin Durant put himself in that type of atmosphere with those type of players, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, and we're going to be blessed because we get to see more of this. Mm-hmm. Who else has come back from an Achilles and performed like Kevin Durant? I think LeBron got one more year to be the man in this Kevin Durant's league right after that.
Okay, let's focus in on that because that was the next question. You're not willing to say right now Kevin Durant is the best player in the world.
I think Kevin Durant is the best scorer on this planet, in the world. I think that, yes, now they're running neck and neck. LeBron knows he's got to come back and have a great year, and his Lakers got to have a great year. But let's see what happens next season. LeBron, he can just do everything. And so he's not going to give up this crown too easy of being the best player in the world.
You know, I'm remembering a day, and this is a very long time ago. You were working here, and you were doing a telecast for us, and you had LeBron James on. LeBron James came on in an interview, and you said to him, congratulations, LeBron, you are the best player in the world. And I remember coming on my old show, Mike and Mike, the next day and making a very big deal of that. If Magic Johnson says to you, you're the best player in the world, that's a big deal. How important is that? He's been the best player in the world a long time. How important do you think that is to him, and what do you think he's thinking as he's watching Kevin Durant this week?
Greeny is very important to him. You know, we got egos. That's what makes us who we are. And so, you know, he pulling for Kevin Durant because that's his friend. But he still wants to be the man. He wants to be number one in the world. But he knows right now. It reminds me of myself and Larry Bird when we saw this guy named Michael Jordan. we kept looking like this, saying, uh-oh, here he comes. And we both had to pass the torch to him. Right now, LeBron James almost is passing the torch to Kevin Durant.
I want to talk about LeBron a little more in a couple of minutes, but let's focus in now on Durant's team. Clearly, the overwhelming factor in that series, the injury to Harden and then the injury to Kyrie. If those three guys are healthy, do they win the championship this year?
I think they win it, but we don't know that for a fact, right? But I feel that they are so dynamic, and there's nobody in basketball like all three of them. The most, probably the best entertainer in all of basketball is Kyrie Irving. Mm-hmm. The most dominant scorer is Kevin Durant. And then we saw the best James Harden we've ever seen. The way he played this season was unbelievable. And now they all have to come together. But Greeny, I would say this. I think they got to get a better supporting cast for them to win the championship. And I think Joe Harris, they should use him as a trade piece to bring in somebody. They need guys who can play both ends of the court. and guys who can actually give them extra possessions. So they're going to have to get the role players to be a little bit better if they're going to win the championship, because everybody's going to build over the summer to beat them, right? And let's say Milwaukee wins it all. That's going to give them the confidence to go up against Brooklyn next season as well. They already beat them this season, but it'll give them the confidence to beat them next season. So I think they got to improve.
All right, we'll see where it goes. Magic Johnson's going to stay with us. We're coming right back in just a moment with much more on this. We talked about LeBron. Is his championship window closed? What is the one move the Lakers can make to help him win another championship? Magic will answer that, and we'll see if he can answer this. Here we go, Magic. Trivia question for you. You have the record for most playoff assists in a career. You broke that record in 1985. Who had the record before you did? That's the question. We'll see if you answer it right next. You're watching Get Up with the great Magic Johnson on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Both teams are going to go home. Both teams in a win or go home situation.
Something that most people think. A lot more at stake, obviously.
Game 7 is what everybody wants.
Oh, baby! A right hand jam!
We're starting to get some pace.
Floats for Capella, who fires and plunges.
Fires a long three. And that might be the Sixers' season.
This team is special, man. Winning this building Game 7, it's huge for us.
So much drama in the NBA playoffs, and literally no one better on planet Earth to talk about it with than this man. The great Magic Johnson is in our studio. He was on KJZ earlier. He'll be on First Take later, and we are delighted to have you here. It is great to see you. Thank you, Magic.
And great to see you again, too. All right. And tell your son congratulations. Going to Northwestern, a Big Ten school.
We play you the first
week. That's right.
We'll talk about that. But thank you. That's very nice of you to say. But let's get right to it last night. So much of the conversation this morning has focused on Ben Simmons, his lack of willingness in that one moment to take the shot. And again, in the last four games of this series, he did not attempt a single shot in the fourth quarter. What do you see in him right now?
He's just not aggressive. Don't want to be aggressive on the offensive end when he needed to be aggressive to help the Sixers win. He needs a new start, a fresh start. So it's time to trade him. And it'll be good for the Sixers as well as good for Ben. And his confidence. He needs to get with a veteran so that they can, you know, probably bring that confidence back and make him understand that if you're aggressive, it makes the team better. And then you got to work on your shot. What Atlanta Hawks did, Coach McMillan did a wonderful job of saying, okay, Game 5 is where the Sixers lost this series. It's not last night. Mm-hmm. It was Game 5. They were up 20-something points. They should have won that game, didn't close them out. But Coach McMillan started to hacker Simmons, and he didn't shoot the free throws well, and that carried over to Game 6 and Game 7. And now with the fan base being a great fan base in Philadelphia, you already know all the talk now centers around him. You see Embiid say what he said, and I think it's time for Rich Paul, who is his agent, got to now get him out of Philadelphia. It'll be good for both parties.
What Embiid said, for those of you who weren't with us earlier, was basically he thought the game turned in that one moment when Simmons passes up the shot. So many different places I can take this with you, because you are, among other things, a former executive. So you know about the wheeling and the dealing. He's got 4 years and $146 million left on his contract, and the whole league just saw what we just saw.
Right.
So what can they get for him? Are they getting a great player in return for him?
Well, they messed up and didn't get James Harden. That's, you know, he was supposed to be the centerpiece, mm-hmm. right? That's what the Rockets wanted, and they didn't make the move and didn't make the trade. But now they can still get a good player because he's a good defender, great defender, I shouldn't say that. But one thing about contracts, another team has a bad contract too, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's always teams willing to trade guys because maybe that guy is struggling in that other city and he needs a fresh start too. So I look for the Sixers to trade him. I look for another team to take him because he still has a high ceiling and a high upside. He just needs to get his confidence going and get it back. And he's got to get more offensive-minded, Greeny. That's where he's going to have to improve. And he can't say now, I'm not going to work on my game in the summertime. To me, he needs to play more basketball, even getting in a summer league or something. Play more basketball and just take shots from the outside, pick up games where that can bring him his confidence.
So here's the most important thing I want to ask you. As one of the genuinely greatest leaders in the history of American team sports, you say he needs a veteran. If you're that veteran, he comes to your team, and you want to help him instill that confidence, you want to make him more aggressive, what do you say to him?
Well, first, I'm taking him to the gym every day in the summertime with me, right? And we're shooting, playing one-on-one, we're working out. We're probably shooting 1,000 shots a day, both from the outside as well as free throws. And every day I'm talking to him, getting him going. And so then when the games come, every time he don't take a shot, I'm in his face saying, you were open for that jump shot, you got to take the shot. Because that's what brings your confidence, the fact that you're doing it over and over again and finally you hitting one of them, right? That drive to the basket, he drove to the basket about 5 times last night. He had the dunk or the layup, and he kicked it out for a three-point shot. You can't do that, not when they need you to score in game 7. And so I hope that it works out well because I like Ben Simmons as a man and as a person. And so I hope it works out for him.
All right, we'll see. So the Sixers go out last night. Atlanta, Milwaukee are now the two alive in the East. Another team that went out over the weekend was the Brooklyn Nets. And I want to ask you, because it's always fascinating for me to hear the immortals talk about this kind of thing. When you watch the performance of Kevin Durant in Game 5 and then again in Game 7, what did you see through your eyes, who are one of the few people alive who can know what it is to play at that level? What did Kevin Durant show you?
That showed me a Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan type performance. It reminded me of Michael Jordan against the Celtics when he got 60 and they lost. Mm-hmm. That same type of performance, and everybody said, uh-oh. It's getting ready to be Michael Jordan's league, right? And so I think that Kevin Durant put himself in that type of atmosphere with those type of players, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, and we're going to be blessed because we get to see more of this. Mm-hmm. Who else has come back from an Achilles and performed like Kevin Durant? I think LeBron got one more year to be the man in this Kevin Durant's league right after that.
Okay, let's focus in on that because that was the next question. You're not willing to say right now Kevin Durant is the best player in the world?
I think Kevin Durant is the best scorer on this planet, in the world. I think that, yes, now they're running neck and neck. LeBron knows he's got to come back and have a great year, and his Lakers got to have a great year. But let's see what happens next season. LeBron, he can just do everything. And so he's not going to give up this crown too easy of being the best player in the world.
You know, I'm remembering a day, and this is a very long time ago. You were working here, and you were doing a telecast for us, and you had LeBron James on. LeBron James came on in an interview, and you said to him, congratulations, LeBron, you're the best player in the world. And I remember coming on my old show, Mike and Mike, the next day and making a very big deal of that. If Magic Johnson says to you, you're the best player in the world, that's a big deal. How important is that? He's been the best player in the world a long time. How important do you think that is to him, and what do you think he's thinking as he's watching Kevin Durant this week?
Greeny is very important to him. You know, we got egos. That's what makes us who we are. And so, you know, he pulling for Kevin Durant because that's his friend. But he still wants to be the man. He wants to be number one in the world. But he knows right now. It reminds me of myself and Larry Bird when we saw this guy named Michael Jordan. we kept looking like this, saying, uh-oh, here he comes. And we both had to pass a torch to him. Right now, LeBron James almost is passing the torch to Kevin Durant.
I want to talk about LeBron a little more in a couple of minutes, but let's focus in now on Durant's team. Clearly, the overwhelming factor in that series, the injury to Harden and then the injury to Kyrie. If those three guys are healthy, do they win the championship this year?
I think they win it, but we don't know that for a fact, right? But I feel that they are so dynamic, and there's nobody in basketball like all three of them. The most, probably the best entertainer in all of basketball is Kyrie Irving.
Mm-hmm.
The most dominant scorer is Kevin Durant. And then we saw the best James Harden we've ever seen. The way he played this season was unbelievable. And now they all have to come together. But Greeny, I would say this. I think they got to get a better supporting cast mm-hmm. for them to win the championship. And I think Joe Harris, they should use him as a trade piece to bring in somebody. They need guys who can play both ends of the court and guys who can actually give them extra possessions. So they're going to have to get the role players to be a little bit better if they're going to win the championship, because everybody's going to build over the summer to beat them, right? And let's say Milwaukee wins it all. That's going to give them the confidence to go up against Brooklyn next season as well. They already beat them this season, but it'll give them the confidence to beat them next season. So I think they got to improve.
All right, we'll see where it goes. Magic Johnson's going to stay with us. We're coming right back in just a moment with much more on this. We talked about LeBron. Is his championship window closed? What is the one move the Lakers can make to help him win another championship? Magic will answer that, and we'll see if he can answer this. Here we go, Magic. Trivia question for you. You have the record for most playoff assists in a career. You broke that record in 1985. Who had the record before you did? That's the question. We'll see if you answer it right next. You're watching Get Up with the great Magic Johnson on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We're back on Get Up, and as Magic and I here in the break reminisce about his career, you broke the record for career playoff assists in 1985. Whose record did you break?
It's either Bob Cousy or Jerry West, and I'm going to take Jerry West.
That's correct. You got it right.
What's the young man name in the back?
Hambo.
Oh, yeah. You tried to get me, but I had to say, okay, these two guys are the guys who played in the finals and the playoffs the most, right? So I figured it was one or the other. Okay.
Well, not only that, because he got it exactly right. Jerry West was the one who broke the record. Bob Cousy is next. have been. By the way, do you know who broke your record?
No.
Nobody even came close. you still have the record with 2,346 career playoff assists, and all of them as a Laker, and obviously one of the greats of all time. And then your last act, really the great act as a Laker, was to bring LeBron James to town. And so your friend Stephen A. Smith, who you're going to see in a few minutes over there on First Take, he comes on this show. Yeah. And he says the Lakers championship window is closed. What do you think of that?
No, it's not closed. And they have to make some moves, though, because the West is so much better now. We're seeing it already with Phoenix and the Clippers. And we haven't even talked about Utah and Denver when Jamal Murray gets back. And so and then the big three out here back east. Mm-hmm. And so we have to get better. And they got to get some shooters to surround AD and LeBron with. Because Danny Green, that move hurt us. Rondo, that move hurt us because those guys brought something that we don't have anymore, right? Danny Green could shoot from the three-point line. Rondo with his basketball IQ and also be able to create shots for his teammates. Dwight Howard closing down the middle. So we missed those guys. So Rob Pelinka just got to bring some shooters, help AD, help LeBron, space the court. And I think the Lakers will be fine.
One of the big question marks about Anthony Davis, or about the Lakers in general, is Anthony Davis and his inability to stay healthy. No one questions his brilliance as a player. When healthy, he's an MVP caliber player. But how do you handle him during a season in which, I mean, we hate the words load management on this show, and everyone hates them, but the reality is you need him to be healthy at the end of the year, and it doesn't always happen. How do you handle it?
Well, Greeny, you're right. First, he got to change what he's been doing over the summer. And I think he's got to get somebody to stretch him. He also probably got to work with a physical therapist to make sure all the injuries that he had this past season, he's over those injuries, and it can help him during the season next season, right? And then for the Lakers, I would say yes. Not load management as much, but make sure you watch how many minutes you're playing, watch back-to-back games, because he is injury-prone. Before he got to the Lakers, he used to get injuries with the Pelicans, so we know that. The main thing for the Lakers is we just can't depend on those two guys anymore. We need a third scorer. We need somebody who can get us 15 to 18 points every single game, and that's where Rob Pelinka got to make a deal, or he's got to draft somebody who can do that.
So who is that? What is that move? If you're making that move, what is the one move that could put LeBron back over the top?
Well, what I'm understanding right now, because I haven't talked to Rob or Jeannie about this, I know Kyle Kuzma, who played great before those guys got there, he needs to be a second scorer on a team, right? And I think he can actually do that.
Can I just interject? Someone has just entered the room. This is about to be fascinating. The great Stephen A. Smith has just made his
look,
way.
Look at him strolling, too.
Stephen A. is here. He doesn't have a microphone on, I'm being told. But you know what? With Steve, you can hear him anyway. So it does.
I lean on magic.
So I told him, you said the Lakers championship window is closed. He doesn't believe it.
Well, listen, it's very rare that I disagree. Here we go. Thank you so much. It's very rare that I disagree because, after all, this is magic that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's presently constructed. This team, their championship window, they did something magic and the Lakers never did. They won the championship. They were feeling themselves. They were walking around as champions. I'm not talking about LeBron because we know he takes care of himself physically. But there's a lot of dudes out there that didn't commit themselves to defending the crown they had earned. And as a result, you got all of these teams on a come up. They are what they are. As presently constructed, their window is closed. Now, if they go out and get somebody like Dame Dollar or Damian Lillard or something, that would be different.
Is that on the list of options?
I don't think so. It'd be nice, but I don't know if they could do it.
Yeah, what do you think?
I think it's tough to pull off that trade because you need assets to do that. I think there's players out there that can help the Lakers. Rob's just got to find out who that guy is. But Laker fans, we gave them a pass, right? We said, hey, they won the championship last year. We gave them a pass this season. But after that, no passes. They got to come through. They got to play well. But he was right. Sometimes when you win a championship, you don't work as hard over the summer. You don't look to improve. You don't look to get better. And I think that happened to the Lakers. But I think losing in the first round, losing to the Suns the way they did, they're going to come back and be ready.
Especially in cities like L.A., there are very many distractions. And so as a result of that, you have to maintain focus. And it's easy to be distracted, and that happened. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. So Stephen A. is just getting warmed up because they're going across the hall to do First Take in a minute. But let me ask you the question, because Magic Johnson is not willing to say that right now Kevin Durant is the best player in the world. He says that is still LeBron's crown to hang on to. I don't want to misquote you, right? That's what you just said.
Right.
Who's the best player in the world?
I think it's KD. I think Kevin Durant. But here's what I will say. Magic Johnson, and it's not just because of his resume, the style of player that he was in terms of literally predicating his success not just on what he was capable of doing, but what he peeled from people around him. That's why Magic would say that about LeBron. Makes perfect sense. I'm a scorer. I'm about putting the ball in the hole, okay? And when I look at KD, who has the same, averaged the same amount of points as LeBron throughout his career, 27 points per game, all right, around the same rebounds, considering the shooting percentage from the perimeter, LeBron is a career 73% free throw shooter. Over the last 3 years, he has shot less than 70% from the free throw line. Kevin Durant is 85+. The brother is a marksman. Extraordinaire.
No
question. And when I look at it from that perspective, I just think offensively there are levels to this, and LeBron ain't on that level. It's no knock against LeBron. It speaks to the level of eliteness that Kevin Durant has. He's one player that could possibly catch Kareem.
But I said that, though, right?
Nobody's
going to be right. Kevin Durant at that scoring. But LeBron getting everybody involved, making his teammates better. But the good thing is, it's always next season, and we're going to see, because who's going to win the championship is going to now say, okay, that's the guy now, right? If Kevin Durant leads Brooklyn, then it's his league from here on out. If LeBron leads the Lakers, then he's going to still be the man. So we got to look and see what happens.
You talk about getting up in the morning. Not only do you have Magic, but you got Magic with Stephen A. Lord.
I'll see you in a minute.
Stephen A. across the hall. Magic is on his way there again. He does KJZ today over here and then doing First Take right off the top of their show. Thank you, Stephen A. And thank you. Let me, one more thing.
Okay.
As I have to let you go. So, and then there were four, and none of them have KD, and none of them have LeBron. You've got Phoenix. You've got the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Milwaukee. Yep. And Atlanta. It took me a second to put it all together in my head.
Right.
Who's going to win?
I want Chris Paul and the Suns to win, but I think Milwaukee's going to win. I think it's Giannis's turn. He's been through a lot of pain.
Mm-hmm.
And now, because of that pain, they're focused and they're ready to win a championship. But they better be ready to play these Atlanta Hawks, because this young team is playing great basketball. But I'm hoping for Chris Paul, because it reminds me of Dr. J. Everybody was cheering for Dr. J to finally win his championship. He swept my Lakers and they won. And Chris Paul has meant so much to the league, just like Dr. J did back in the day. So I'm hoping Chris Paul wins.
His team able to get him a win yesterday in his absence again in the COVID protocol. We'll see when CP3 is able to get back on the court. The great Magic Johnson has to go next door. It is such a pleasure to see you.
Always,
thank you
friend.
So much for coming
thank
in
you
here.
Too.
You are the best. The right. best. Magic Johnson again. On his way over to First Take, we have to let you go. They're yelling at me. Thank you very much, Magic Johnson. By the way, his favorite baseball team's on ESPN tonight. You will see Mookie Betts and the Dodgers taking on the Padres. That's tonight, 10 o'clock Eastern time, right here on ESPN. Where can I take you from here? How about the golf? Final round of the 2021 U.S. Open, Torrey Pines. This one came down to Jon Rahm and Louis Oosthuizen, and we go to 17 in competition for that trophy. Rahm, one shot off the lead after all the drama of having tested positive for COVID after round three. At the Memorial a few weeks ago, he rolls in that bomb, and now he's all of a sudden even with Oosthuizen at the top of the leaderboard. And now on 18, Rahm, 18 feet away from the lead. And look at that putt. Back-to-back bombs on 17 and 18. Rahm posts a 67. Oosthuizen still on the course. Needs to go one under in order to force a playoff. What he can't afford to do is that. He misses the par putt on 17. So he's two down going to the par 5, 18th. He has to hold this in order to have any chance. And it can't do what it isn't to be. Jon Rahm, in one of the most remarkable stories ever, 2 weeks ago, forced to withdraw from the Memorial. Now, a U.S. Open champion. What a day for Jon Rahm.
I believed from the biggest setbacks you can get some of the biggest breakthroughs. And that's why I stay so positive. That's why I kept telling Kelly when she was devastated about what happened in my family and everybody around me, something good is going to come. I don't know what, but something good is going to come. And I felt it today out there on the golf course.
Well, something remarkable most certainly did. After withdrawing, as we mentioned, at the Memorial with a six-shot lead, he wins his first career major in his 20th start. He also takes over the number one spot in the world golf rankings, leaping over Dustin Johnson and Justin Thomas to get there. He's the first Spaniard ever to win the U.S. Open. Congratulations to Jon Rahm. Meanwhile, First Take is coming up next. Again, Magic is over there. Who looks worse for the Sixers now, Doc or Simmons? Plus, is KD the best player in the world? It's Magic with Stephen A. Max and Molly. They're next here on ESPN.